Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6. And while you're turning there, there's a verse in Joshua. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The idea and the topic, the purpose for this study is to focus on who we should serve. Should we serve God or should we serve ourself, which would be self-ish, self-serving? Yes. Same thing. Or should we serve the world? And the thing that tugs at my heart for this study is our children. And that's the opportunity we have today with the young adults, I'll say, up in this class today, because it suits them. We did this some time ago, right, Eli? You were there at the house when, I should say Brother Eli, and at the house there, and we had the accepted youth out to decorate the benches. And it's the very same topic, but expanded somewhat for everyone's understanding, and that's what we're here for. A servant. What does a servant do? Serves. You can say it loud. You can be yourself here. One that performs duties for another and or to be of use. And as a young boy, I always was fascinated with ants. For some reason, I had no friends, but I had ants. And so I would see them. I sat on, there was a stoop. I can picture it right at the end of the walkway there. And it was a stoop, a step. And right there on the right-hand side, no grass grew, but there were plenty of ants. And so I would watch them and just, you know, they would form a column and they would go to the breadcrumbs. And then finally I figured out I can put some more breadcrumbs. And then I thought, what would happen if I put a stick in the middle and disrupted their walkway? What would they do? And remember, we're studying the serve ant. And so what they would do, they would gather together, and it might take two or three of them to take and pull that big stick I put in their way. They didn't want to necessarily go around, but they went and moved the stick out of the way. So they were serving the colony. They were serving who God intended them to be. And that's something called instinct. They didn't need to get into the book and find out what God wanted them to do. God had put that in their heart and their mind already. In Proverbs chapter 30, you're in Proverbs 6. Proverbs 30:24 says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. So these little ants are exceeding wise. And so the next verse says, the ants are a people, not strong. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. They prepare their meat that's service to the colony. They're being of service to someone else in their colony. The ants are called an insect with complex social structure and all have special duties. One has the duty of being a worker, and one has the duty of being an army ant, and then one has the duty of preparing the food, finding the food. The other one has a duty of taking care of the eggs, the larvae in the pupa that are in the tunnels there. And so they all have their specific duties. And then there's the male. All of that I just discussed was the female. They take out the trash too. The male's only duty, as I understand it, is to wait on the queen. And so that, and then they're dead. But the idea here, just, and you need bifocals or a magnifying glass or something to see what I have here. I have these ants up here, and these are the pupa larvae, the eggs from the queen. And this is something called slave makers, and then we'll get over to the other ones. The idea of the ants is they do service for each other, for the good of the colony, and that's instinct. That's why God wants them to be. Don't just do something, they do something specifically. The reason I used ants in this illustration is something that is worldwide right now, and it is something very important for us to understand. And I'm looking at the children. Not children, excuse me. You're not children, right? Young men, right? Okay, voice is changing, yep. There are ants that are called slave maker ants. And the ants in the slave maker colony, what they do is they're bigger ants. They're more suited for war and killing. And what they do is they'll go to another tribe. So this is the slave maker's homes. They're the bad blue meanies. And they go over to these colony of good guys, ants, and they take and they kill all the adults. All the adults are dead. So what are they after? The babies. They take and steal the larva and the pupa from this colony, and where do they bring it? Who can draw? Who can do dots? Anyone? Yeah, never mind. I can do dots. We'll use blue ones. So the evil guys, the slave makers, are the blue, and they come over here to the red colony, and they take the eggs. And so you can see them stealing the eggs here, and I'm going to put blue dots in the place of the red dots. So these guys are all gone. And now, tell me what happens when an ant emerges. There are no baby ants on the planet. They emerge full grown. So as soon as they come out of their shell, their cocoon, they emerge a full grown ant. So what are they going to say, or what are they going to do? They serve by instinct, right? So when they wake up, when they're born into this world, who do they serve? The blue ants, the enemy. They wake up serving the enemy. They don't know enough to know that they don't know. Did I say that right? Yeah, okay. They don't know. No one was there to instruct them not to serve. That's their instinct. That's their nature, is to serve. So when they wake up, they start serving the slave makers who are their enemy, who killed their mom and dad. They don't know. Now, if you keep in mind relating this to what's going on in this world today, this may be something that needs to be told. Speaking of mankind, we are not ants. Some of you might be ants. I'm an uncle. We're born into this world as what? Slaves to sin. Slaves to this world. The prince of the power. I'll read the verses. It's in Ephesians 2 if you want to get there. Ephesians 2:1. It's when ants are in their nature, they're naturally, you know, that movie with years ago, Born Free, as free. Okay, never mind. They're born free. And then some of the colonies are brought into slavery. We, on the other hand, are born where? In slavery. And I'll get to read the verses. It says, wherein in time, Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Well, it talks about in time past ye, and you were dead in sins and trespasses. Ephesians 2:3, among who also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It's not our natures to be believers. It's not our nature. Our nature, do you have to teach a baby how to cry, you know, or whine, or a youngster to not pull your sister's hair? Or, you never did that, right? Huh? You remember doing it. You were a child of wrath, right? Ha ha. So was I. But the idea of what we're studying, all this, is who we should serve. Not so much how or the what of service. That's another story altogether. But who we should serve and how do we do that? After you believe Christ died for our sins, what happens to you? What's the word?
Saved.
We're saved. Thank you. And adopted into the family of God. And he sends his spirit into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. We belong now to a new colony. We're now placed, if our life started here, and it does, and then as we believe Christ died for our sins, there's our Savior, our Deliverer, our hope of eternal life. And our freedom comes from the cross, Jesus Christ, and our faith in that. If you've never believed that Christ died for your sins, you can go from slavery to freedom in one half a minute or 10 seconds. Believing Christ died for our sins. He was the Savior. And knowing that, then we are now adopted into his family. We're saved into another colony. That's God's colony over there, the church, the body of Christ. And that's wherein we serve. If I told you how to serve, how to do things without knowing who to serve, I would be putting something backwards, right? There's a verse in, you know how to do 1, 2, 3, 4? Everyone do 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. There, very good. Nice class. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. You've heard me do this before. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We're first saved before we can come to the knowledge of the truth. And when we find the knowledge of the truth, then we know what to do for service. First, we have to learn who we serve. Romans 12:1. Well, let me go to 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians 8 says this, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, serving the colony. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord by the will of God. By the will of God, what do I need to do something by the will of God? What do I need? I need the book. You can shout it out loud here, pal. You don't need to whisper. We need the book. The ants don't need the book. We need the book. If you wanted to walk according to the course of this world, you don't need the book. That's just your old nature. The whole purpose, again, is not to follow our old nature, not to follow the course of this world where he's after. That there's someone, I said, he, that would be Satan. 2 Corinthians 8:5 says this, and this they did. Oh, I already read that. Romans 12:1, that's where I'm going. And this verse has popped up a few times lately. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Who do we worship? Who do we serve? Is God, which is your reasonable service. I looked up the word service there. It means divine worship. It's to serve God is to worship him, is to worship our God. Service is a sacrifice. But service according to God's will in the book. Not our service to sin, not our service to what do I want to do today. What would I really like to do? Which is okay, we can do things, right? But when we're dealing with service to God, how do we serve God? Oh, maybe I think I should do this. No, let's get in the book and find out. Ask a parent, ask an adult, someone who knows the book. I need help here. How do I serve God? If God wanted a cup of coffee, what do I do? Give him some coffee. We'll get to that. And you know, there's the verses you're going to read that are going to make that sense out of that. In Acts 9, now turn to Acts 9. Did I have you in Romans 12?
Yes.
That's okay. Turn to 9. Acts 9. And this is Saul. Acts chapter 9. Was Saul a good guy? Not when he was called Saul. He was in the wrong colony. It says in 9:4, it says, "And he, Saul, fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Christ yelled down to this man, Saul, and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Was Saul, did he take his sword and start poking at God? Who was he hurting? He was hurting people. Live in Acts 9:5, it says, "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." It's whom I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But we know Paul, or Saul, was killing who? Who was he killing?
Believers.
Other Christians, people that believed in Jesus Christ. In verse 9:6 says, "And he trembling and astonished says, Lord." He first acknowledges that he is Lord. And if you tie the verses together, Jesus and Lord, Jesus is Lord in his mind. He says, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Paul, he says, according to the law, I was blameless. And so he was blameless according to the law. So what did Paul know? He knew everything according to the law, what he should do. And he says, "Lord, okay, I'll put this aside. Now what do you want me to do?" He was a busy guy. God picked the right guy to be his apostle for us. Thank you very much. And maybe we'll have an opportunity in glory to have a couple of minutes or a couple of thousand years to talk to Paul. It's a reality. So Paul first understood, just like that verse 1, 2, 3, 4 in Timothy, he understood first that who to serve, and that was the Lord. And then he says, "Now what shall I do? What shall I do to serve you?" And in the workplace. You know, Paul didn't believe in Christ in a church or a synagogue. He believed in Christ in his daily routine. Your daily routine. Think about your daily routine. Someone else that you know, your daily routine. Hey, Christ died for your sins. That's when someone may come to Christ. People are not going to come into this church just because you said it's a great place to go. It's because what's taught here, not because, you know, we're so handsome and I don't dress as good as Jim, but but Paul knew, Saul knew that who he should serve. He changed from serving himself, self-serving, because he says he was more zealous than anyone. And he wanted to show himself, hey, I'm somebody, because I've killed a lot of kids, people, men and women. Put them in prison and killed them. Caused them to blaspheme. So he says in Colossians 3:2, he says, servants, he starts out saying the word servants. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. In the real world, you got a job. Obey your master. Not with eye service, just not to do something, but as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to God, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Now, I used that verse myself. I used it the other day. And when I bring something back to a customer, a chair or whatever it might be, and they said, "Oh, it's a wonderful job, and that's good. How long will it last? Is it secure?" And I said, "I know something in a Bible verse that says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." And I would say that I would do that chair, fix that piano, or whatever it is, as if the Lord hired me. Now, that's a dangerous statement. it's guaranteed forever, right? But that's the shoe-in when I can talk to someone in their normal daily routine and not have to break out, hey, you know you have to be in this and that and you're going to hell. You don't have to do that. Some plants, some water, God gives the increase, right? And so we just put out there what we can. So whether you're a painter, a plumber, or a student, or a, a butcher maybe? Or how about a baker? Or a scandal? I knew you'd get that. Whatever you are, that's how you serve the Lord, as if the Lord hired you. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Whatsoever you do in school, the playground, whatsoever you do at work, at Kroger's, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, because that's where you serve who? The Lord Christ. People are looking at you. People are, you call yourself a Christian and you're doing that. People are watching you, believe me. And if you're a good witness, a good testimony, they say, I want to be more like you. I want what you have. What you have for breakfast, I want some of that. And what would you like on your tombstone? Pepperoni and mushrooms, yeah. You watch the commercials, right? What I want on mine, if I had a tombstone, it would be serve man by the will of God. To serve man is to serve God. To serve the colony, to serve the church, the body of Christ, is to serve God. Now I'm going to call on these guys here that I get three verses. Eli first, please. Then Ethan. Then Elijah. I'm slowly getting all the names. Come on up here, please. And that's found, yours is found in Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36. Go ahead and read.
For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me.
Okay, thank you. Next verses. Verse 37.
Then shall a righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee.
Next, 39 and 40.
And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee, and the king shall answer and say unto you, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
Okay, thank you. So, in the verses, but thank you for reading. That's service. Thank you. I was hungry and you gave me meat, Christ speaking. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you took me in. And then they says, when did we do this? And he says at verse 40, and the king shall answer, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Paul in Acts 9 said, Paul, why persecutest thou me? He was persecuting the brethren of Christ, the brothers, the believers. And when you did something good for the body, the colony, we could say, then you did it unto Christ. If you wanted to go get me a glass of cold water, could you do that?
Yeah.
Go get it. Tap water, please. And a Big Mac. Thank you. I don't know if he needs help finding it. He does? Works for Chick-fil-A? I'll know what to ask for next time. And so, if you serve the brothers, you serve Christ. Whatsoever you do. Look for something that you can do. I'm not here after the do part of it, but But as you do to the body of Christ, you're serving Christ. And if you persecute, as you persecute the church, you're persecuting Christ. And so he'll reward everyone accordingly. Paul says, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Not because of I baptized 300 people this week, and he's not looking at just mere numbers or people that come in and say they're saved. He's looking at saving people, their souls, that he might win them to Christ. And he says, for though I be free from all men, yet I've made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. He'd made himself a slave to the body of Christ. And so that he might see people saved. But I know another verse referring to Christ, Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He's there to serve and to see his body be blessed. Look at here. Here comes my servant. If you give a glass of water to a prophet. Thank you. And it's cold. And I should have asked for Chick-fil-A instead of a... No. I don't want to eat there. Yeah, I do. They're closed on Sundays. That's very good. The following message has been brought to you by... The Bible verse in Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We need the book. Right, guys? Girls? Ladies? Men? Women? We need the book to have our mind transformed. That's what our enemy is after. That's the battleground. And if he wants to get, you know, I have some videos that are frightening, that are real, off the internet, yes, but a reliable source, about children. And Satan is after your minds. Can he take you and change your salvation? Can he? No. Once you're saved, can you go back to worldly thinking?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I was put in prison once, and I was released. I'm over here in this colony now. I like the food back there. I think I'll go back to prison. Any takers on that? Does that sound like a smart move? No. So once we're believers, we have a new set of rules, don't we? We have God's rules, not the rules of the world. So if someone says to you, I'm going to focus on the youngsters for the moment. If someone says to you, you can have this medical treatment, but you don't need the advice or the consent of your parents. What do you tell them?
No.
Tell them what?
No.
Tell them no. Say it louder.
No.
No, okay. And you tell them no because children obey your parents in the Lord, Ephesians 6 over there. You understand that. And so you can consider yourself blessed, children here, that your mom and dad cared enough about and loved you enough to tell you the truth about the enemy out there and what you should be doing, who you should be believing and understanding, who you should be serving. You have the external influence from the world, and we need to tell our children that the slave makers are out there, not the ants. They're slave makers, and they want to take us and conform us to their world, their way of thinking. And if you think of the world scope today, that's what's happening. And we can see it in the ants. It says they're exceeding wise. And Solomon said, go to the ants and learn their ways and be wise. And so that's what we'll do. And we'll understand that in principle. But you remember Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? You might know them as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I like to call them by their real names. Because when they were taken captive, what did they change? You guys, who knows? What did they change? What did they tell these three boys to do differently? Four boys. You're going to have some new meat. You're going to have some new drink. You're going to have some new names, and you're going to have a new God to worship, a new God to serve. So all those things, the slave makers, Satan, the Antichrist, whatever you want to call him, are the evil out there in this world, wants you to have a new way of thinking, a new way of eating, a new name, and a new God to pray to. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah, it's right. It's right. It's out there, but it's wrong. I hope I said that right. What about Moses? In Moses' day, they say Pharaoh thought the children of Israel were getting too populous. There was more of them than there were Egyptians. So he says, hey, if we rise up in war, they're going to join their enemies and kill us off. So why don't we do this? Why don't we, thin the herd? Why don't we kill all the babies, all the baby boys? And then when Christ was born, Herod sent the wise men to do what? To find out where he was born. For what reason? He was going to go kill him. Since he couldn't kill him, what did he do? He says, okay, kill them all. 2 years and younger, kill them. And we're talking about children. Examples in Scripture, and we can learn from the learning and admonition from Scripture. And so we'll learn from that. They're after our children. There's also an internal influence, and it says, but God be thanks, you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. When you believe that Christ died for your sins, Christ died for our sins, we are now in this arena here. So we think, live, and breathe, and teach. Maybe someday you guys will have kids, if the Lord tarries. And then what will you tell them? Same thing, right? Tell them to watch out for the evil. Stay in the book. This is where we find out the will of God. And it says in Romans 6:16, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are. You want to obey sin? You want to obey the world? You don't have to listen to your parents. You listen to me. Right? No, you go back to your parents and find out if I'm telling you the truth, right? Okay. There is one other influence in the ant world that I would like to describe, and he's called an ant lion. And here is like loose dirt or sand. And what this ant lion does, it's the larva to a lacewing fly, an ant lion. And it has jaws too on it, and it's about a half inch long. And what it does in the sand, it digs like a funnel. And so you ever play in the sand dune where you start sliding in and you can't stop yourself? No? I have. And that's what he does. He digs a funnel, and he goes and puts himself face up in the bottom of the funnel. And so when an ant crosses the path, then lunch drops in. He gets the ant right there. It's called an ant lion. And I need to quote a verse. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The ant lion's out there, and he's waiting for you to fall into his trap. I know we took it a little bit out of context, but not really. But he's out there looking for you. He's waiting for lunch to drop in. Are you going to be his next victim? Whether or adult or youngster, young man, young woman, we have to be on our guard. It said, right? Vigilant. But we can't be and ignorant. We have to be a vigilant. You've heard of the vigilantes? Let's do that for Christ. So if we serve one another, we're serving God. Let me close. It says in Matthew 8:6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Are we serving? Are they after you? Are you serving God? Serving the world? Is the world after you? After your mind? And where your mind says, this is the way I should go, that's where your feet go, right? Oh, I want to go to the show today, right? So your feet take you to the show, or your feet take you to help shovel snow, or whatever it is. Whatever's in your mind, that's how you perform. That's what you do. And if we do it by the will of God, by His book, we're serving the body of Christ, the colony of believers, if I can put it that way. And then if you do that, you're serving God Almighty. Isn't that great? Let's close. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We can find out your will, how to be saved, who to serve, and what to do after that. Thank you for everyone here. And Father, that if anyone's here that never trusted that Christ died for their sins, they can do that right now. And it's our Savior's name we pray. Amen.